This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Wednesday, January 2nd, 2008, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll head to the Quad Cities, where the staff at one newspaper is trying to excite high school students about the political process with the Iowa caucuses just one day away. And we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, a chilly one for the next day or so. But first, a look at today's news. A ban on smoking in public workplaces, tougher restrictions for teen drivers, those are just some of the new laws that took effect with the new year that have received most of the attention. Sean Crawford looks at some of the others.
While it's already taking place, one new law gives the states okay to embryonic and adult stem cell research. It also allows for public funding of the work. The state has provided taxpayer money for stem cell research in the past, but some question the legality. Other new measures require every hospital to adopt policies to ensure patients' religious beliefs are taken into account. Rental car companies will be limited on how much they can charge a driver for collision insurance, and orders of protection now include pets, as animals are occasionally abused in some domestic violence cases. Also, health insurers must provide coverage even if an individual was injured while intoxicated, and drivers must stay 3 feet away from bicyclists when passing them on the road. Despite lawmakers' complaints there are too many different license plates available, the state is authorizing more, including ones to designate autism awareness, scouting, Korean War veterans, and the Sheet Metal Workers Union. I'm Sean Crawford.
Two women were killed when a van carrying students from Bowling Green State University in Ohio went out of control on a snowy Indiana toll road and crashed early this morning. Bowling Green spokeswoman Terry Sharp says the van was carrying a group of international students back from a trip to Chicago over the holiday break. Authorities say the 25- and 26-year-old women who died were ejected from the vehicle when it rolled over into the median. There were four others in the van, all men. Two sustained minor head injuries. The crash occurred around 12:20 a.m. as the van was traveling east on the interstate about 45 miles north of Fort Wayne. The van rolled several times and landed on its roof. Republican Greg Ballard was sworn in yesterday as Indianapolis's new mayor, pledging in his inaugural address to make fighting crime his administration's top priority. Ballard, whose swearing in was attended by about 800 people, also said he will seek to move the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department back under the control of the mayor's office. Marion County Sheriff Frank Anderson, a Democrat, currently oversees the department, but Ballard, who's a retired Marine Corps officer, says all public safety agencies must be under the mayor's chain of command. In November, the political newcomer defeated two-term Democrat Bart Peterson to become the first challenger in 40 years to one seat in Indianapolis mayor, in part because of voters' anger over higher taxes. It's a new year, but at the Illinois Capitol, the same problems face state lawmakers. The General Assembly is being called into special session today. Governor Rod Blagojevich is summoning lawmakers to Springfield to deal with a bailout of Chicago-area mass transit agencies and a statewide infrastructure program. The problem? There's no agreement on anything yet. Tense negotiations have played against the backdrop of a deteriorating working relationship among legislative leaders. The governor has called nearly 20 special sessions since last spring, with little to show for them. Many doubt this week we'll see any major breakthroughs, although lawmakers are facing another deadline when it comes to mass transit. The agencies say they'll cut back service and possibly raise fares unless the state steps in and helps. Downstate lawmakers say they won't lend any support to a bailout unless they can get money for projects in their districts. One way to come up with the funding is to expand gambling, but it's unclear if there's enough support to push that package through. Chicago's tax on bottled water is in effect, and that's got the bottled water industry and some retailer groups seeing red. Adrian Hill has more.
When you buy a bottle of water in Chicago, you'll pay an extra nickel. When you buy a case, you'll pay an extra $1.20. The tax was passed as part of the city's 2008 budget. Supporters say it will help reduce the amount of waste that bottled water creates. But Illinois Beverage Association Director Tim Bramlett thinks it's really about filling the budget gap.
This really isn't an environmental issue. I think that was it was kind of subterfuge to try to sell this, but it really is a money grab. On a product that's very healthy.
Bramlett says some Chicagoans might just head to the suburbs to buy their cases of water. His organization and others are considering a lawsuit challenging the tax. I'm Adrian Hill.
For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. Constitution tests and mock elections are par for the course when it comes to teaching Iowa school kids about the political process. But one newspaper in the Quad Cities is putting students on the front lines of presidential politics in hopes of getting them hooked early. Alex Keefe reports.
War and politics. Just a couple of paragraphs. Okay. Joe Smith is a 17-year-old.
It's just weeks before the Iowa caucuses, and Mark Ridolfi, the editorial page editor of the Quad City Times, sits at the head of a long wooden table addressing a room full of reporters. He helps them hash out story ideas and sets deadlines. Scenes like this have been taking place in newsrooms across Iowa in the months leading up to the caucuses, but this one's unique. That's because most of these journalists are still in high school.
The presence of their copy on the page, their presence at the event, is inviting. People love to see young people involved. It makes them feel good about the process when you see young people involved. It's hard to be cynical.
This is all part of a program called First Vote, which Ridolfi started during the 2004 presidential election. The idea is to get high school and college kids interested in politics by teaching them to cover the Iowa caucuses as reporters. In many ways, the three dozen or so first voters, as they're called, are just like their professional counterparts. Their stories run on the op-ed page, and they post a video of candidate interviews and stump speeches to the First Vote website. But Ridolfi isn't out to create the next Royko or Woodward. He wants to educate future voters.
My thesis going into this is if I have commentary, particular images of young people on the page, young readers will stop and take a look and say, oh, what's this over here? This isn't just heavy news about Washington or city politics. This is something that might relate to me.
And according to 13-year-old first voter Kevin Trahan, Ridolfi's thesis seems to be holding true. Trahan is a freshman at Bettendorf High School, but he's already covered a Democratic candidates' debate, and he recently interviewed Hillary Clinton. Trahan is a prime example of how covering the Iowa caucuses can get kids thinking critically about politics before they even get their driver's license.
I mean, being like kind of a journalist, I mean, I'm not criticizing, but I find a question that can maybe try to make them think differently about what they just said.
Take, for example, the way Trahan, the future voter, changed his mind about Republican Rudy Giuliani after the former New York mayor didn't take a question from Trahan, the reporter, during the Q&A session after a recent campaign event.
I was going to ask him how he's going to reform No Child Left Behind, and he just wouldn't call on me. I don't know why. I was the only one with my hand up at one point. He wouldn't call on me. I don't know what the reason, probably because I'm younger, probably because I can't vote. But I think that was a major thing, and I had no problem with Giuliani before, and I think that kind of now I look back on it and I frown on that. I mean, I don't like Giuliani.
According to Mark McDevitt, it's that kind of youthful impressionability that makes teenagers ideal candidates for programs like First Vote. McDevitt is an associate professor of mass communication at the University of Colorado, and he's been surveying teens nationwide to find out how they develop their civic personalities.
Their independence is very, very important to them at this stage in their lives. So why not design curricula and newspaper intervention programs that take advantage of this adolescent desire for independence instead of ignoring it?
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, there were more students attending Iowa high schools in 2006 than there were caucus goers in the last presidential election. By not tapping into this pool of future voters, McDevitt says political parties could be missing the boat.
What we know from decades of research in political behavior is that the adolescent years are crucial in terms of developing civic dispositions such as an appreciation for voting, a desire to vote, a desire to participate in political activism.
Trahan says his school hasn't done anything special to teach students about the caucus process, although some candidates have. Hillary Clinton, for example, tried to prepare voters for January 3rd by holding mock caucuses where people could vote for different types of cookies instead of candidates. But Barack Obama by far enjoys the youngest support base. The way Trahan describes him, Obama sounds less like a candidate for president and more like a pop icon, complete with a fan club and a signature clothing line.
He has the Barack stars, which I don't know before. One of his rallies here, he had any high school students who wanted. They could come and hang out with him, talk to him at John O'Donnell Stadium before the event, and I think that was really cool. And he has all these Rockstar t-shirts, they have like a number, and it's like a basketball jersey, and I think that's cool.
But in the end, it seems the First Vote program, not schools or campaigns, will have provided these students with their richest memories of the 2008 caucuses. Trahan insists that covering presidential politics hasn't made him prematurely cynical, but still, he offers this warning to candidates who disregard future voters.
We're a big part. I mean, I can vote next election. People might be like, well, you can't vote this election. But it's like, yeah, but if you're elected, then I can vote against you in the next ones.
I'm Alex Keith.
In the forecast for East Central Illinois, mostly sunny, breezy, and cold today. A high of 15 degrees. We'll have winds from the northwest up to 24 miles per hour. Clear skies tonight, the low near zero. Mostly sunny tomorrow, the high 25. We'll have winds from the southwest 5 to 10 miles per hour during the morning and from the south at 10 to 20 during the afternoon. Mostly clear tomorrow night, a low 15. And on Friday, mostly sunny and breezy, the high around 40 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, January 2nd. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.